As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, here we go. Playoff edition of, fresh line in here. That's where you look like you coming from, fresh from the chair, man.
Got to look
like
the part, baby.
Yeah, that's a razor line for that ass right there. Go ahead. Shout out to the barber there.
Yeah, man.
As you took care of it. But Rockets Report playoff edition.
Looks like it. Hell, what do you mean looks like he's fresh out the chair?
He's fresh out the chair.
Like his ass was in the chair
15 minutes
ago.
Hey,
no doubt. T-Bill, when I tell you it's a miracle that I got here, dog, and where I was literally 12 minutes ago, I don't know how I made it.
I told Ron, you text me, man, I'm going to have to do phone today. And then, like, 40 seconds later, you were like, nah, I'm pulling up.
It looked like
shout out to the Houston traffic today. It was in my favor.
It looked like they started on your line when we started that segment. Hey, that's how quickly you've been.
I sat in this man's chair, and he must have seen something and was like, he needs some tender loving care. Because he sat me down there, and I was in the chair for at least an hour, man. I thought I was going to get here on time.
I didn't think I had this kind of time.
Hey, how many lives you put in danger in that damn parking garage doing 90 miles an hour?
Quite a few.
Blind turns.
How about the lives on Post Oak, the lives on Highway 90, the lives on 610 to get here?
And we got here safely.
We did.
We got here safely. Big night for you. I know you're going to be out there as you were game one. And listen, you've had some time. The NBA, of course, gave you about 3-4 days, it feels like, since game one. Where are you at now? How are you feeling after game one, having some time to digest it going into game two?
Yeah, I think the big thing is that they played to their identities in the worst and best ways on Sunday night, and so they got to get a little bit away from the part that was the worst of it, which was we know they're capable of going through these offensive lulls, but even on their own standards, we talked about this kind of off the air, man. Even amongst their own standards, this was bad. What we saw the other night, Jalen Green has not been good against the Golden State Warriors at all this year, really, for the most part. But this was bad even for that. So, and that's his own issue, right? They're going to have to figure that part out. Why is it that they can't find a way for him to be effective? Why can't he knock down shots? What is it about what they're doing that he can't exactly figure out? He's going to have to do that now in a hurry.
B. Scott, tell me, I feel crazy, but I was on this before the bad performance from Fred VanVleet. Less Fred VanVleet and more Jalen Green, more Amen Thompson, more whoever. Tell me I'm crazy. Like, I've got to, at the very least, see less Fred VanVleet. And if I'm crazy, if I'm not crazy, is it? Do you think it happened?
No, I don't think you're crazy, but the issue about it happening is it all goes back to this earlier point that we just made about Jalen Green. Like, I think if you get a more assertive and effective, I think, not just assertive, but effective and better decision-making, something that we've been talking about with him his entire career, but a better Jalen Green necessitates less Fred VanVleet. Like, this is the thing, Clint. not to get two X's and O's, but when they're packing the paint and Jalen Green either doesn't exactly know what to do or he's bailing out the matchup, he gets switched on to Steph Curry and he doesn't attack the paint, or they're packing the paint and he doesn't exactly know what to do, Fred VanVleet gets the green light to just take these open shots, or to just take the, or to initiate. And to me, if you can rely on Jalen Green a little bit more, if he can be a little bit more effective and efficient, I don't feel like Fred feels like he needs to take all of these ill-advised shots. That's not to excuse the fact that Fred has been bad.
Is it as simple as, because I mean, I'm a simpleton. To me, if Jalen Green's knocking down outside shots, then all the pieces fall in place.
Yes. I mean, it really is. Like, not to oversimplify it, but yes. Quite frankly, yes.
Well, yeah, if he's scoring, you know, in any way.
What I mean, he's an inconsistent jump shooter.
Yeah.
Right? And his jump shot's been that way since the beginning. I mean, it was broken in the beginning. But ever since then, it's one where it's like, oh, I can't believe he made that shot.
Yeah.
Step back three or whatever. Difficult shots. But then also, you'll have those nights where he can't buy a bucket.
Like, yeah, they've got to shoot better overall. We know that. Jalen Green's got to play better. Min Thompson's got to be more aggressive. I saw some things kind of rewatching that a bit, in particular with Jalen Green, and just some situations that were alarming to me that I think has to change is, like, he couldn't shake loose a Steph at times. Like, that was a part to me where, like, Steph beat him up. Like, when he sees Steph Curry switched on him, it should be blood in the water, and he should be going in straight attack mode. But he wasn't able to get past him at times. So, and I know he's capable of being that type of player to where Steph Curry is not somebody who gives him problems defensively. He's just got to be, you know, smartly aggressive and go and make plays, especially even when he gets switches on matchups that are advantages for him, like Steph Curry.
Yeah, well, so for me, it is the fact that, like, I do have to give the Warriors credit for this. They do a good job of help defense. Like, they have been making up for the hunt Steph strategy for years now, and they do a hell of a job, always have done a hell of a job with their help defense, and this is the stuff that I'm talking about. When they pack the paint, they shade over to – they try to keep Jalen from going from his more favorable side. He likes to go right, doesn't really like to go left as much. So they kind of – they play to that, and then he has to – two things. Both make better decisions from that, and then also not bail out the matchup or give up on it when it gets a little difficult, which he also did at times. Like what you're saying, when he couldn't shake Steph, then he'd be taking a step back three against Steph.
Yeah.
Well, you're bailing out the matchup. Steph is on you, and you're Jalen Green, and you're taking a step back three. They'll take, even if you make it, they'll take that, right? So don't bail out the matchup and make better decisions when it's right in front of you.
What, B. Scott, what is your, not necessarily what you think the Rockets are going to do, but what is your favorite? You're sitting home watching the Rockets. What's your favorite lineup on the floor?
Oh, the double big lineup is my favorite lineup on the floor because it imposes its will and it still has shooting on it. Like, if the double big lineup consists of, we are, obviously know that that's Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün. But if it's got Jabari Smith Jr. as the three, and let's say it's, instead of Amen Thompson, it's Jalen Green and Tari Eason. Or it's Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. It's just another shooter out there. I like that. I don't necessarily want it to be Jalen, Amen, and the double big or triple big, but give me another shooter, Dylan Brooks. Give me another shooter out there with the double slash triple big, and that's my favorite lineup by far.
Yeah, Brandon Scott with us in here for the Rockets report. All right, we kind of talked about a little bit for game one, but what are in particular things outside of, all right, man, they've got to shoot it better. They've got to shoot it better. What are some things that you're like, hey, this has to be a change for them. This is a part of the game we have to see that's different coming up.
I think that from a coaching standpoint, they have to be willing to go deeper into that bench if the offense looks anything similar to the way that
they
did.
How deep you?
Well, and that's the thing. You can. I don't think they need to play a whole bunch of guys, but I think they need to decide maybe up front who they like the most in these matchups. Whether that's Aaron Holiday. I'm not saying play Aaron Holiday, Reed Shepherd, and Cam Whitmore, but one or two of them, and be willing to, like, let them go out there for 7 to 8 minutes. If you're scoring 13 points in a quarter like you did in the second quarter, and it gets that bad, I think that they definitely have to be willing to do that. Like, the story is what it is, Ron, the fact that they need to hit these shots. Like, Man, they held the Warriors on a night where Steph went off and Jimmy was Jimmy. They still held the Warriors to 95. That means 96 wins it. They could have won it without even scoring 100 points. It all comes down to knocking down these shots, making better decisions on offense, and as a coaching staff, deciding, hey, do we need to go away from this and go and lean further into that for our shooting matchups? They don't have a whole lot of shooters, and some of them just happen to be deep on the bench. Some of their instant offense happens to be guys like Cam Whitmore. Happens to be guys as
you
crazy,
trust him in this spot,
as, crazy as it sounds, Aaron Holiday. I don't, but I think that I do think that you have to be willing to take some risk and be willing to say, hey, I'll try this for 5 to 7 minutes early in the game if that's what it takes. I don't trust him late in the game. But if I'm not scoring, do I trust Cam Whitmore in the second quarter with still the second half to recover from it? Absolutely.
And you're saying if it starts to resemble how bad it was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you just look at the shot chart, man. They couldn't buy a bucket outside of those first few minutes when they really kind of imposed their will in the matchup, really looked to be in the Rockets' favor. After that, it's clank, clank, and, you know, the Warriors start going off.
I mean, they're still, and maybe this goes without saying, but right, I mean, Şengün is still the big key here. I mean, I think when it comes down to winning and losing, like, you're going to have to get a guard that's knocking down some shots, obviously, but Şengün in that matchup through four quarters, like, you're going to constantly find a way to get him to rock, right?
Well, it's the beauty of it is that Şengün is the most reliable piece of it. People talk about how badly they need a star, how badly they need a superstar, and they do need a go-to guy. But Şengün is their most reliable offense. They need all of these other unreliable things to come together, the shooting, the decision-making, the rotations even. All of that stuff has to come together. Şengün is the most reliable piece that they have.
Before we get out of here, do you feel – because he rode the fence on this earlier. Do you feel this is must win for the Rockets tonight?
Yes, I do think it's as close to must win as you can come without it being an actual elimination game.
Like
it's not an actual elimination game, I do think it's must win. I mean, what are you talking about going, oh, you got the home court advantage to start, and then you go to on the road down 0-2 against this team looking like that? I don't think that's viable.
You don't see their path to winning the series?
Absolutely.
Realistically,
if they lose tonight, game. Absolutely not.
All right, that's Brandon Scott. You can catch all of his work at sportsradio610.com. He's on In the Loop at 11 every Tuesday with us at 4:40 every Wednesday. He will be at Toyota Center tonight for this huge, and as he said, must-win game.
Yes.
For the Houston Rockets. That'll be coming up tonight, so stay tuned for that as we get ready to go into a little 5 o'clock fire. The Astros. The Rockets aren't the only thing going on tonight. The Astros have won and can sweep the Blue Jays. We'll give you the starting lineups and get you ready for that one.